From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the House tries to find a solution to the budget stalemate. An AIDS package is poised to move forward without any pro-life protections, and one state honors their Christian heritage. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. Early on Thursday afternoon, the House went into recess without Republicans reaching an internal agreement on funding the government. Government funding runs out next Saturday. Joining Tony Perkins on Thursday to talk about it was Congressman Scott Perry, chairman of the Freedom Caucus. Here's Tony Perkins.
Chairman, welcome back to the program.
Well, it's great to be with you, Tony. It's a little wild here in Washington, D.C., but we have actually not adjourned. There is a recess at the call of the chair, so anybody can be called back at any moment. And actually, I have some expectation that this evening we will move a rule vote through the Rules Committee to start moving these appropriations bills. There's been a recent breakthrough. And so I think we'll be taking another shot at it. Of course, we have time requirements. We want time to read the bills, and that doesn't change just because you're in a hurry. So we're going to have to abide by that. But we'll see. We are not done working on this. We've got our sleeves rolled up, and we're sitting in the room for hours and hours talking to our colleagues. And quite honestly, as you rightly put it, Tony, we are in discussions and disagreement, unfortunately, in many cases over the spending. But people like me, generally speaking, the Freedom Caucus members we're tired of seeing our country be bankrupted, our citizens send all their tax dollars in to spend on things that they don't agree with. And so we have not agreed to, and so far have not agreed to, the higher spending levels that were agreed to by the House and the Senate this spring. And so that's the impasse, but maybe we're going to have a breakthrough here shortly.
So one of the big disappointments today after last night's conference meeting was a vote on the DOD authorization bill, the appropriations bill. That failed after there was anticipation that would pass. The rule for that failed on the floor today. Is that what we're anticipating, maybe a breakthrough on that before we get to a CR?
Well, the DOD Department appropriations bill. So the money we're going to spend on defense is about 60% of the budget. And I know that many in leadership wanted to move that, and they were given assurances by some that they would vote for the rule. People must have changed their minds overnight. And of course, that creates a lot of angst. But it's being kind of held as a hostage, because once you move 60, 65% of the spending, all the rest of them are much easier. And so we're looking for ways to find some cuts. Now, I voted for the rule in good faith that we were going to do what we said we were going to do based on last night's meeting. But there's a couple hundred of us here, and you never know what happens with each and every one. So maybe someone was betrayed and they felt it like it was their only way to register their discord. But we got right back in the room. I just actually left that room, and I think there's a new process agreement in place, generally speaking, and I think they're going to start working. Well, they already have started working on it. We'll see if there's going to be a rule vote tonight or tomorrow.
So, Congressman Perry, I mean, I've talked to some of your colleagues. They were heading to the airport to fly home. So I'm assuming, being in recess, that a vote, you're going to have at least 24 hours so members can get back to vote. So could we see votes over the weekend?
I think that's somewhat improbable now, at least in the Rules Committee. But understand, once the rules come out, we want 72 hours to read that. So it looks like there likely won't be any votes over the weekend. But this is Washington, D.C., Tony. You know, as soon as you think something's going to happen, something else happens around here. So I'm reserving judgment, but I want to let you know I'm right here in Washington, D.C. Like I said, I got my sleeves rolled up, and we're working with our colleagues to try and get something done. We think this is critical, and this is what we were hired to do, and you got to find a way through it. So I know some of my colleagues apparently have left, but they could literally be called back within the hour. And so I don't necessarily think that's prudent, but that's what they're doing.
So, Congressman, you talking about your sleeves rolled up. You've had your sleeves rolled up all week. You've been a part of negotiating between the conservatives and the not-so-conservative members of the Republican conference. And it looked like there was a way forward with a top line on a temporary CR leading into appropriations with a top line. That, where do we stand with that? Is that going to be the way forward?
It does not appear to be the way at this moment. And I just want to clarify, I never really considered it a continuing resolution because it didn't continue anything. It was actually an 8% cut in current spending. So that, obviously that's not continuing. And on the policy front, we put in there the absolute most righteous border security bill that ever has passed the House of Representatives, which that happened earlier this spring. And we put that on there. So, but apparently some of the members, and I don't fault them, they say, look, you in January and we in January demanded 12 separate appropriations bills, and we shouldn't do anything but 12 appropriations bills. Now, one of the problems with that is it takes some time to do them, and we don't have a lot of time. But these members are saying that is not my problem. We didn't waste the summer. We didn't waste the, you know, the whole part of the year where we could have been doing them. So we're going to do them now. And I really can't fault them for that, because what often happens is we package everything together. We send it over to the Senate. They put more on it or change it, and then they send this big blob back to us, and you got to vote for things that you hate to get the things that you want.
It
all want to end that.
That's happened time and time again. And I just want to remind folks, and you can speak to this, you know, in January, you were on the program, others were on the program, discussing the process of selecting a speaker. And there was a lot of angst about going through repeated votes and multiple days. And I was saying that. I said, look, don't get upset. Don't get worried. You know, this is actually good. It's healthy for the process. I think this is healthy. I think this, if we don't have individuals standing up and saying, we're not going to keep doing things the way we've been doing it, we've got to change it. If we don't do that, we'll never change it.
You're exactly right, Tony. And that's what this is all about. It's been a very constructive, although sometimes difficult conversation. But if we don't change it, we're going to set to do the exact same thing, which has spent our country into bankruptcy. And so we're looking for a way to get through that right now and have our colleagues actually vote on some spending cuts. But I will tell you, Tony, the money that we're spending, we're getting to the point where these decisions are very, very difficult, which we all knew over time we were going to get here. You can't simply keep on spending money that you don't have, and it has gone on for decades around here, and the fruits of that are now finally, unfortunately, ripe to be picked, and they are a sour taste.
You're absolutely right. Scott Perry, thanks for joining us. Very quickly, 15 seconds, how can people be praying into this situation in the hours and days ahead?
I think they need to be praying for us to have wisdom, but also to have some consideration for our fellow person, but also for our country, because these are very, very difficult decisions. But we need the good Lord we need his hand on our shoulder guiding us so that it is to his glory. And they should pray for that patience and that wisdom.
And we will do just that. Congressman Scott Perry, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony. God bless you.
So, folks, I do want to encourage you to be praying. I know we get angry, we get concerned. I do think this is healthy for the process. It is kind of nerve-wracking at times for some, but we need to be praying. All right? All right, on the other side of the break, Congressman Chris Smith joins me. Don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch ahead.
Now more than ever, Christians need to be prepared to articulate the truth of God's Word to our culture in an informed and loving manner. That is why Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview exists. By applying the Bible and the historical teachings of the Church to a wide range of relevant issues, including voting, religious liberty, abortion, marriage, sexuality, and more, the experts at the Center have provided resources to help Christians live by a biblical worldview, to understand why Scripture must be authoritative, and to equip believers to advance and defend the faith in the workplace, in schools, in their communities, and in the public square. Access free resources like the Biblical Worldview series at frc.org/worldview. To get highlights of the latest work of the Worldview Fellows, including their latest blogs, op-eds, interviews, and more, sign up for the Center for Biblical Worldview's newsletter at frc.org/subscriptions.
What does Scripture reveal about the role of a man? What is God's unique design for men? And how can we faithfully and practically live out God's purpose for us to serve as provider, instructor, battle buddy, defender, and chaplain? To answer these important questions, Family Research Council's Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin and Dr. Keenan Curitan released their book, Strong and Courageous. It offers a battle plan for men on how to take on our God-given responsibility in a culture quickly running from God's good design. The authors present the Old Testament book of Joshua and his leadership as the focus of the study, asking readers to consider and apply the key principles of biblical manhood. It is crucial that men take on our role in the family and society and embrace the fact that God made us men for a reason. To get your copy of Strong and Courageous, a call to biblical manhood, go to frc.org/strongandcourageous. Again, that's frc.org/strongandcourageous.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Thursday. Again, let me give you a Capitol switchboard number, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121, where you can weigh in with your member of Congress and your two senators on any of the topics we talk about. All right, as I've discussed on this program, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, it's also known as PEPFAR, was launched 2 decades ago and has been credited with saving more than 25 million lives. But the Biden administration, the most pro-abortion administration in our nation's history, and that is without hesitation, I can say that, they're using the billions of dollars designated to address HIV/AIDS to also promote abortion internationally. Right? They're still addressing AIDS, but they're giving it to organizations that promote abortion and even agitate for the changing of laws in many of these African countries that are very pro-life. Joining me now for an update on this, Congressman Chris Smith, who was the primary author of the original PEPFAR congressional bill, and has also led the reauthorization efforts. He serves on the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. He's also the co-chair of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission, and he is the chair of the House Pro-Life Caucus. Joining me now is Chris Smith. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Tony, thank you so very much for having me on, and thank you for your excellent work on all issues relating to family life, the unborn, including this fight we're in on PEPFAR.
Well, you know, I was here when it was first authorized. You led the effort on that, and it was, addressed AIDS. It helped these African countries, but it's been kind of twisted over the years, especially under the Biden administration. And this is why Congress reauthorizes these things, so that if they get off track, it can be addressed. And that's what you've been trying to do by attaching provisions that would simply say, if you're saying the money's not being used to advance abortion, then just put these guardrails on and we'll all be fine.
Yes, we're calling their bluff, in a sense. They keep saying PEPFAR does not promote abortion, while all of the literature and the experience we're hearing and the field reports is that they have integrated abortion on-demand promotion with HIV/AIDS work, just like the World Health Organization has done it, the UN AIDS Organization, and all of the UN agencies, and International Planned Parenthood Federation, which is based in London, the global group. They have said integrate the promotion of abortion simultaneously and working with HIV/AIDS. That's not what we signed up for. When we pushed the HIV/AIDS legislation, as you know, and George W. Bush was one of his great initiatives back in 2003. Henry Hyde was the prime sponsor of the first one. I was the prime sponsor of the reauthorization some 5 years ago. We made it very clear this is all about making people healthier and preventing that very, very lethal disease called HIV/AIDS. That said, what does Biden do? He hijacks it all. We have some people within our party, particularly on the Senate side, and some people who used to be members of the U.S. Senate and others who are pro-life, who are saying, just do a clean reauthorization for 3 or 5 years of this legislation. That would, a so-called clean, in other words, no language of significance like the Mexico City policy, means that we're just rubber stamping and just putting our imprimatur on it, or just saying very clearly, we endorse what President Biden has done. It's outrageous what Biden has done. He's doing it everywhere, as you know. He's doing it with the VA, the Veterans Affairs, making clinics provide abortions. What is that all about? I used to chair the Veterans Affairs Committee. Those clinics and those hospitals are all about life-saving, not life-taking, and now he's done it with this program as well.
So this historically has enjoyed broad bipartisan support, and it would if it stayed focused on its stated mission, and that is to deal with HIV/AIDS. So as you pointed out, this administration, it's no secret, almost every aspect of foreign policy has been promoting what I call the unholy trinity, and that is abortion, LGBTQ, and climate. And so they're hijacking these funds, and still they're doing the mission, but it's going to these organizations that often agitate for changing of laws as it pertains to abortion. It funds these pro-abortion organizations in countries like Africa. You've met with many of these foreign leaders. They don't like this cultural imperialism that the U.S. is pushing on them.
It's even worse than not liking. They hate it. They do not want abortion on demand in their country. They do not want the entirety of the LGBTQ agenda, which is being foisted upon them. By what? The large, very effective, and I say that with regret, large non-governmental organizations that take the taxpayer funds and its grant money, and they promote these anti-life, pro-abortion policies. And, you know, it's across the board. You know, IPPF, Planned Parenthood, they have a strategy that takes us to 2020. Great HIV/AIDS work with abortion.
Chris, very quickly, give us where this stands right now and what our listeners and viewers can
do. WHO is pushing model legislation. Sure. Well, Mario Diaz-Balart, the chairman of the Foreign Ops Appropriations Committee, wrote an excellent bill that continues PEPFAR for 1 year, 2024. But it has the Mexico City policy, which was originally crafted by Ronald Reagan. Because we found that the existing Helms Amendment, which is still in existence, was not strong enough. Contact your House member. Contact your senators. I mean, Senator Lindsey Graham, for example, is now pushing a clean reauthorization of PEPFAR. You know what that means? We endorse everything Biden has done. No, we want to fight this year, and a multi-year, 3 to 5 year authorization will take us into the next administration, which, God willing, will be a Republican administration. And then when that president goes to put the Mexico City policy, as Trump did, on these programs, any existing contract would be exempt. Right. So if there's a multi-year authorization for all of this, for PEPFAR, we will not be able to reopen those contracts. And if I were Biden, as I'm going out the door, I would just make sure that every one of these contracts are multi-year,
right,
and we will have,
so they can't
we'll
be
have a clear victory. It can't be touched.
Congressman Chris Smith, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to ask our listeners and viewers to lean in on this.
Tony, thank you. We need, and you've been so, so effective in promoting and raising the profile of this issue, and I can't be thankful enough.
I appreciate it. All right, folks, stick with us. The governor of Mississippi joins us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Christians must be aware of the issues that threaten the culture and the church. To this end, Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book titled Male and Female He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage. This book was written to help Christians understand what Scripture teaches and how to address them biblically. Included in the study are complimentary videos that expound upon the themes of each chapter. Order your copy of this book at hecreatedthem.org.
Reading Scripture consistently and in a meaningful way can sometimes prove to be difficult. Many don't know where to begin or struggle to understand how to apply the passages they read to daily life. Scripture is our daily spiritual bread, and just as we eat every day for the nourishment of our body, we ought to spend time with God in His Word for the nourishment of our mind and soul. Reading the Bible daily helps us to better understand and grow closer to the Father. It also prepares and equips us to do good work for God's kingdom. That's why Family Research Council offers the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. It's a 2-year plan that will help you read Scripture daily so you can better know God's truth, walk through our culture from a biblical worldview, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Sign up to get the daily passages and questions today by visiting frc.org/Bible. The persecution of Christians grows globally every year and continues to become more aggressive and dangerous. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares the true stories from those who have faced religious persecution and takes a look at the heartbreaking circumstances Christians encounter due to the difficult and sometimes deadly hostility to their faith. Get your copy wherever books are sold or at frc.org/heroicfaith.
All right, I told you, you need that Capital switchboard number, 202-224-3121. Also at TonyPerkins.com, we've got links to each of our speakers, or our guests, I should say, and the topics they're covering. All right, with all of the craziness taking place in our country, and we've talked about some of it here today, and we got more to come, maybe it's time we recenter on True North by being reminded of our heritage. And we're actually finding a number of elected leaders doing just that, bringing our attention back to our history, our heritage, and what made us at one point a great nation. Well, this week, to celebrate the rich cultural legacy of the Christian faith, the state of Mississippi will celebrate Christian Heritage Week, September the 24th through the 30th, to recognize Christianity's influence on their state and our nation. Joining me now to discuss this is the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves. Governor, welcome back to the program.
Good afternoon, Tony. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you. So this will be Mississippi's 29th Christian Heritage Week. Tell us why you believe this is important for the citizens of Mississippi to recognize our Christian heritage.
Well, I think it speaks to exactly what you talked about in the lead-up to this conversation, and that is the fact that it is our Christian heritage, it is the principles upon which our country was founded, is what has made our country the greatest nation in the history of mankind, and certainly those of us in Mississippi are proud of our Christian heritage. We believe in our heart that that is what has made our state the wonderful place it is to invest capital, to create jobs, and to raise a family. It's really those Christian values. And to be honest with you, when you think about all the craziness that's happening in the world today, I think we need more elected leaders that are willing to stand up and not only proclaim that we're celebrating Christian Heritage Week, but talk a little bit about what that means and talk about what our Christian faith means to us as elected leaders, and how we ultimately get to the decision-making process based upon our Christian values.
I could not agree with you more, Governor. I think you've done that quite well. You've done on this program many times. It's also been evident in your policies that you've put forth in the state of Mississippi. Your declaration of Christian Heritage Week specifically honors many of the founding fathers for their Christian faith. Now, the left wants to ignore or forget the faith of those who came before us. But, you know, these are the ones who built this country, all right? And they crafted what has become the longest-running written constitution agreement on the earth. And so we ought to listen to them. They may know something about how we can repair this thing and keep it going.
Well, there's no question about that. When you look at what was written in the Declaration of Independence, you look at what was written in our United States Constitution, and it is very clear that way back 250 years ago, there was a concerted effort to recognize that the Christian values upon which this country was founded upon those values for a reason. Because if we're going to celebrate Christ and celebrate our faith and import it in the way in which we not only live our lives, but the way in which we govern ourselves. It's critical to a long-standing opportunity for success as a nation, and they believe that. They wrote it in those documents, and there are those on the left now that, as you just mentioned, that not only do they want to forget that it ever happened, they want to pretend like it didn't happen, and that's just and it's not the right direction for the country. It's certainly not what the vast majority of Mississippians believe. And because of that, we're standing up and we're going to say, hey, you can do whatever you want to do in California or New York, but in Mississippi, we're not only going to proclaim Christian Heritage Week, we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to talk about these things that we believe and the reason we think we have the opportunity to live in the greatest state and the greatest nation in the history of mankind.
I think it's great.
And that reason is because of the values upon which the country was founded, and we still celebrate here.
I think it's great. I know the heads on the left are exploding. But how would you like to see the citizens of Mississippi recognize this week?
Well, look, what I believe needs to happen is that we, as followers of Christ, need to continue to spread the message and to try to save those who are unsaved, that we should talk about the blessings of eternal life and what that faith means to us and how our belief system and our values are based upon the writings in the Bible. And not only should we live our life that way every single day, we shouldn't just do it, by the way, next week during Christian Heritage Week. We should do it every single week. And I tell folks all the time that it is so important that we recognize that we live our life based upon the principles that we learn about in the Bible, and that we work to spread that message across certainly our state and our nation, but across the globe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Governor, I want to thank you for issuing this proclamation, but I want to thank you for not just this one proclamation, but for you doing exactly what you just described here in your policies, in your practices there in the state of Mississippi. Always great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Y'all have a great afternoon and evening, Tony. Always good to be on. Great to have you as a friend.
All right. Thank you. Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, a neighbor to Louisiana.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkeld, thanking you for being with us, and look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.